Father, again, we are thankful, Lord, for the work of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Thankful, Lord, for your Spirit that you have sent to live in us and also to be among us. Thankful, Lord, for the privilege you have given us to come into your presence and to offer you songs of praise, offer you words of worship. Thankful, Lord, that as we have done that this morning, Lord, you have responded to us by your Spirit. Lord, we have experienced your peace. We've experienced your comfort. Lord, you have given us your word. Lord, we're thankful. And Lord, we ask, Lord, to continue to minister to us this morning. Continue to speak to each person who's here physically and each person who would participate online. Lord, I pray that your word would come forth to edify, that your word will come forth to cause us to see again your goodness towards us, cause us to gain understanding, cause us, Lord, to be drawn closer to you, cause us, Lord, to become equipped for every good work. So, Lord, I pray that you might be with us and I take a stand against every distraction. And Lord, I thank you that your word is coming forth and you are being glorified. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen. I want to share a word of encouragement this morning, coming from the story of Lazarus. And I'm calling it, If You Believe. If you believe. That's one of the things that Jesus said to Martha when he encountered her. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, most of you should know the story of Lazarus. So it's just a way of reminding us and hopefully bringing out some principles to encourage us. But let's look again at the background to this family. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to pick up at verse 38 of Luke 10. Actually, verse 36 of Luke 10. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. So this lady went out of her way and welcomed Jesus into her home and his traveling team. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was is that Luke 10? Oh, I'm like wondering if there was some change to translations that I'm not aware of. So sorry, I'm back at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. So this is an introduction to Martha and Mary. Martha, I think, being perhaps the older one. That she entreated Christ to come into her home. And she, I put here in my notes, seemed as if she had a calling, like she liked to serve and to be hospitable. And so with the crowd in her house, she was busy preparing things. But Mary was not so concerned about the crowd. She was realizing the privilege of having Christ there. And so she sat at the feet of the Lord, which in those days, if you understand the culture, that's pretty radical. Women weren't allowed to sit at the feet of rabbis. You know, the women had to be involved, like Martha, in serving, but to sit down and to be taught, That was very, very rare. And so she took the opportunity to listen and to be at the feet of Christ. So she was someone who wanted to, Martha also wanted to know more, because it says that she was distracted by serving, which meant that she was serving, she was trying to listen. But of course, it's hard to listen when somebody else over there wants something and you're being called here and there. So she was figuring if Mary would help her, maybe she might hear a little bit more. And so both of them wanted to hear, but Mary was like, I'm not going to allow the crowd to distract me. And many times you and I have to realize that there are so many things calling for our attention that if we're not careful, they can distract us from hearing the voice of the Lord, from sitting at the feet of the Lord. Sometimes you have to say, if somebody gets upset, so be it, but I'm going to take some time and listen to the Lord. I'm going to take some time and be in the presence of the Lord. It was, from a cultural standpoint, it wasn't good for you not to entertain your guests. Just put the food there and say, go and help yourself. We might do that today, but back then, no, you're not supposed to do that. So Martha was doing what was culturally acceptable, but she was missing out upon some stuff. But Mary chose to sit there, and so Martha entreated the Lord, saying, Lord, why don't you tell her to come and help me? Knowing that if Christ told her to come and help, then she'd have to get up and go, because really and truly in the culture, she wouldn't have been allowed to be there anyway. But Christ stood with Mary and said, listen, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. You're trying to do so many things, the food being prepared, serving, who hasn't gotten yet, who's just coming in. You're bothered and you still want to hear. And he says, you know what? Mary has chosen the better part. The better part was to sit and listen. And he was like, I'm not going to take that away from her. So what we see here is a family who, one, were hospitable. We see young ladies who wanted to hear the voice of God, to be taught the word of God. We see Mary, who's not so concerned about the crowd, but rather taking the opportunity to sit at the feet of the Lord. This is the type of family, a hospitable family that now we look to John chapter 11, starting at verse 1. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. That by itself got my attention, because Martha is the older one. But here John is calling it the village of Mary first, and Mary is the younger one. Something stood out about Mary through this story, that afterwards, when people thought about what happened, Mary is the one who stands out. So John says, because he's writing out the people who may know a little bit about the background, and saying, this is Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister. They were well known after a while. The village, this is her village. Everybody knew about her. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was sick. So John goes on, the writer of this book, to remind the people, this was the Mary who did this extravagant thing to anoint the feet of Jesus with her hair and use this expensive perfume. This hadn't happened yet in the story. This happens in chapter 12. After Lazarus is raised and they come back to the home, that's when Mary did all of its expensive stuff. That's when Judas was like, you're wasting this thing. It could have been sold and the money given to the poor. So, but John is writing now long after the event, and he's reminding the people, say, you know what? When you think of Mary, you think of this woman who anointed the Lord, who was extravagant. That's part of her legacy. And so he could talk about it that way. The entire village is known. You want to go to Bethany? Oh, Mary's village. That's where Mary came from. So that's a little bit more of the background to it. And it says, so her brother, Lazarus, was sick. So the sister sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. After this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of his sleep. We'll stop there. So, again, you know the story. Lazarus was sick. In verse 3, the word that they sent to him was that he whom you love is sick. The word in the Greek there for love is phileo. In other words, phileo, many of you know, is the Greek word for the love between friends. And so the sisters are sending to Christ saying, Listen, your friend is sick. The one that you are fond of, because that word really means to be fond of someone or some things together. The one that you are fond of, when you come to our house, you hang out with him. He is the one who is sick. And I found it interesting as I was looking at this passage because down in verse 11, Christ also referred to him as a friend. He said to his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. In other words, he's a friend of the disciples. We hang out with this guy. We like him. He is the one who is sick. And then in verse 5, it says, Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That word for love is agape. So John gives us all his background because he wants us to understand a little bit of the dynamics of what's happening here. That Jesus had a relationship with this family. This is a family where they don't just, I mean, they want to know the word. They want to hear. They want to be taught. But they always had a friendship. Jesus liked them. That's another way of talking about phileo. He liked hanging around them. And so he gets the word that his friend is sick. And he delays. Why this background is important is because we have been called friends of God. How many of you know that? You and I have been called friends of God. I would like to think that he likes hanging around us. That he likes us. But none of those things prevented him, didn't cause him to just run and drop everything and come immediately. It's amazing. So it's important for you and for me to realize that when we cry out to the Lord, when we pray, and things don't happen immediately, it doesn't mean that you're not a friend of God. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that he hasn't heard. He heard. He got the message. But oftentimes, God has some other plans in mind, some other things that he wants to accomplish, another agenda. So we need to get it out of our minds that, you know, when things don't work the way we want them to work, that, you know, God is angry at us. Not necessarily. In fact, I'd say most of the time he's not. If you and I are seeking to live right and to spend time with him, I could say basically he's not angry with you. So that's not the reason why he has not answered. I put here in the notes, God has a habit of delaying. As I look through the scriptures, I see it. He has a way of just not necessarily responding immediately. Oftentimes he does respond immediately, but many times there's a period of delay. Think of Abraham. You gave Abraham a promise he's going to have a son. And it's 25 years later before that son came on the scene. I'm thinking, Lord, that's a long delay. Joseph got vision that he's going to, you know, be in leadership and all sort of stuff. And he ends up in being a slave and being in prison for 13 years. What a long delay. God's timetable and my timetable, many times, they don't coincide. And that's one of the things we see in this story. And even though he loved these people, and even though, you know, they recognized him as friend, he just took his own sweet time. Sometimes when there's a delay, things get worse. That's what happened here. He delayed in coming when he got the word that Lazarus was sick. And things got worse. Lazarus died. I mean, this story is very realistic because sometimes I know for myself when there's a delay, it seems many times, not all the time, sometimes things remain the same, but sometimes things get worse. Sometimes it seems like the enemy just come in and make a mess of things. Sometimes people become more hardened in their hearts. Sometimes the sickness proceeds to the next level. And you and I are left wondering, what on earth is going on here? And in the middle of that, I put here my notes, we have what I call the battlefield of the mind. Because in that time of delay, you're wondering, what is going on? And you have all sort of thoughts that come to you. Thoughts, you know, the devil comes and says, well, you see, it gets worse. You're going to die from this thing. Or you see, it gets worse. It's perhaps there'll never be reconciliation in that situation. Or you're going to end up losing your job because now they're saying all sort of negative things. Look at your finances. No, it's even worse than before. You're going to lose your house. And you have the battle of the mind. And I know all of you have had it. You get a little headache and the next thing you know, the devil's saying, well, that might be an aneurysm, you know. And all sort of thoughts come to your mind, battling you. Mary and Martha had the same problem, I think. They had to battle their own, in their own mind. And so when Jesus eventually came, they said to him, if you had been here, Lord, this wouldn't have happened. They became despondent. They were like, what? I mean, we're sort of glad to see you, but I mean, you come late. You're late, Lord. If you are here, we know you'd have healed him, but no, he's dead. And he has been dead for several days, so, you know, it doesn't even make sense. And so sometimes our situation gets so bad, we're like, I might as well forget about it. Or sometimes in the time of waiting, when God has delayed, we can try and find solutions. We can try and make things, you know, work the way we want to work, like Abraham did. Abraham got the promise. And after about 10 years, there was nothing, according to Genesis 16. And then Sarah's like, well, maybe the promise is to be fulfilled through Hagar. And so you have our own efforts now to fulfill the desire we have, to try and meet the need that is there. And we can make things more complicated. Bringing Hagar into the picture, as we can see and know from history, up until this day, has created massive complications. So you and I have to learn how to wait upon the Lord. How to not try and fix things ourselves and try to manipulate things so that things work out. Let's focus a little bit on why does God delay? In this situation, John tells us, Jesus said, it's for a greater glory. But he can only say that, I mean, Jesus said that, but John can only confirm that in hindsight. In the middle of it, he's like, I don't know what on earth is going on. But one thing I know for sure is that in the middle of the delay, God's grace is available to you and to me. The Apostle Paul, when he had his thorn in the flesh, and he cried out, God's word to him was, my grace is sufficient. My grace is made perfect in your weakness. And so in the middle of the delay, one of the things that is sure is that God's grace is available to you and to me to carry us through. You know, some of the things we are praying for, if we're going to be honest, might only be fulfilled after we have passed on to glory. It says that in the book of Hebrews, these guys prayed for certain things, and it's only after they went to be with the Lord that some of those things were fulfilled. I think certain things are happening and have happened in my life because my ancestors, my grandfather and others prayed for us. And now the fulfillment is here. So some of the things you're praying for, perhaps a loved one to come back to Christ, might only happen after you're with the Lord, but God will still come through with his word. So sometimes when there's a delay, I put here in my notes, is that God wants to deal with some character issues in us. It might be pride. You know, Joseph was a proud young man. He knew that wearing that coat of many colors upset his brother, and he still wore it when he went out looking for them. And I can imagine him walking as if he thinks he was a model, trying to show off his coat of many colors. He was full of pride. And I believe through what he experienced as a slave and as a prisoner, God dealt with his pride. So sometimes the delay allows God to deal with some of our character issues. Sometimes the issues are a matter of fear. And it's only when there's a delay you realize that all of this fear was inside of your heart. You know, when you're healthy and you're running up and down, you think everything is fine until you get sick and you realize, oh my goodness, where all of this fear has come from. Or when your finances in the bank, you think that, oh, I'm trusting God. But then suddenly when you have a big bill and you don't know how to pay it, you wonder, oh my goodness, am I going to lose my house? And fear and anxiety comes up and you realize that my faith is not as strong in the Lord as I thought it was. So sometimes when there's a delay, it becomes an opportunity for the Lord to show us some of the stuff that's inside of us that needs to be dealt with before we can come into the fulfillment of what God has promised. Sometimes the delay I put here is to test our faithfulness. Our faithfulness to the Lord. I like this one. I'm using Abraham as my example. Genesis 17. Is that what I want? Let me see. Yeah, let's look at Genesis 17, and then we'll go to Genesis 20. But Genesis 17 first, and verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, this is after he had his son, Ishmael. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I'll bless her. And indeed, I'll give you a son by her. Then I'll bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. See, Abraham is like some of us. Abraham, at this point in time, is thinking, I think God got this thing wrong. That the son he's talking about must be Ishmael, because look how old I am. And so he's saying, yes, Lord, bless Ishmael, bless him, Lord. Because there was this delay. And so he figured what Hagar and I did is a fulfillment of what God promised. But I like what the Lord said to him in verse 19. But God said, no, I'm not talking about Ishmael. But Sarah, your wife, will bear your son. And you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. So, you know, Abraham, it shows us in his story, the same thing that happens to many of us, that we figure out our own way, we get our own little loan, and we say, thank you, Lord. But we didn't really listen and hear from the Lord when we were acting. We did our own way, did our own thing. And sometimes that very alone becomes like a noose around your neck as interest rates increase and increase and increase because we didn't wait for the fulfillment of God's word. So that's what happened with Abraham, and God had to come back and say, no, I'm not talking about Ishmael. It's an encouragement to me because here is a quote-unquote the father of faith, and we are seeing him waver a little bit, and God have to correct him. Now I'm going to go over to Genesis 20. Because here the promise is renewed, but Abraham still has fear. And so he says to Sarah, tell them you're my sister. And so he comes among Abimelech, and Abimelech takes Sarah for himself. And God had to intervene. God being a faithful God intervened and stopped Abimelech from having relations with Sarah. And then says to Abimelech, go to Abraham. Let him pray for you. Genesis 20 and verse 17. This is what it says. Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maids so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. That's profound. You know why? Abraham is still believing for Isaac. Isaac hasn't come on the scene yet. And the Lord said to him, pray for Abimelech. And he prayed for Abimelech because God had judged Abimelech, no children. And God answered the prayer of Abraham for Abimelech and Abimelech's household and family so that they bore children, and he still believed in God for the fulfillment of his promise. How many of you get that? At sometimes, my friend, in the middle of the waiting, many of us would say, Lord, you know what? I'm not going to pray for anybody else who have this issue because I'm still struggling with it. Last week, we heard Pastor Steve share about his wife. Oh, she struggles with her hearing for years. And yet still, at a certain meeting, the first person that came up for her to pray for them was somebody who couldn't hear or speak. But as she was faithful in praying for that person got healed, was able to hear and speak, and she's still struggling with her hearing. Here's Abraham. I'm sure he has prayed for Sarah many times, and she's still barren, and God says, pray for Abimelech and his family, and they become fruitful. So in the middle of the delay, friends, you and I need to learn to continue to be faithful to the Lord, continue to serve him, continue to declare the truth of his word, continue to pray and minister to others. We should never develop the attitude which says, well, until God answers this, I'm not doing anything else for him. Because if that becomes our attitude, then that thing may become an idol before the Lord. Because even before this, if you remember back in Genesis 18, Abraham is praying for Lot. He's praying, say, Lord, if you can find 10 righteous there in Sodom and Gomorrah, spear them. In other words, he's still being faithful. He's still interceding, even though this particular era where he's believing God has not yet come to pass. This becomes very, very key for you and for me, friends. So you might be struggling in a certain era. You're believing God for something over here. And God sent people to you that have the same problem. And you're like, what should I do? Continue to minister to them because it's not you who answers the prayer. It is God. You might be struggling with back pain, and here comes somebody with back pain, and God says, pray for them. But Lord, what about my back? Pray for them. Believe God. You're struggling in some relationship, and here comes somebody who has a relationship problem, and God says, minister to them. How many understand what I'm saying, friends? It's key. We have to remain faithful to the Lord, faithful in serving him, faithful in worshiping him, faithful in just being obedient to him, even though he has not answered all of our prayers. And we see the example here with Abraham. We see the example with Joseph. His dream wasn't fulfilled, but he's interpreting the dream of the bottle and the bearer and the cup bearer. And their dreams are coming to pass, and he's still there waiting. Well, what about mine, Lord? The principle is there. So you and I have to remain faithful to the Lord in the midst of our waiting on him. Because many times it becomes a test if we are going to remain faithful to the Lord. Yes, your loved one might still be a prodigal. They're still out there in sin. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be praying for somebody else's loved one to come to the Lord. Sometimes God delays because he wants us to know, to grow in patience. Talks about Abraham, who through faith and patience inherited the promise. We live in a microwave era where we want things immediately. And God is like, no. They sent for him. You know, he could have spoken the word concerning Lazarus. And Lazarus would have been healed at very moment. But he's like, no. And he stayed an extra 2 days. He wants you and I to learn to grow in patience. He wants to draw us to himself so we can experience his comfort and his strength. You know, in John chapter 11, when Jesus eventually came, I'm going to John 11, verse 32. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And he says, Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. And that love there is phileo. The Jews looking on are like, wow. See how much he cared for this man. See how much he was a friend to this family. In other words, Jesus came and his very presence amongst them. They experienced comfort even before he called Lazarus forth. He didn't say to them, don't cry. Why are you crying? He didn't do that. Because many times as you and I are waiting on the Lord and things get worse, if you're honest, we cry. We cry before the Lord that this thing has not changed, that this thing has gotten worse. And Lord, when are you going to come through? And you cry. And the Lord wants us to know that he empathizes with us. He knows what it is to go through these things. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The writer of Hebrews says that. And he comes alongside by his Spirit to comfort us. He doesn't say to us, why are you crying? He doesn't say to us, you know, why are you so emotional? No, he comes. And that verse there, you know, many of you know, is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He empathized with them, and people all around saw him weeping. It wasn't like he goes away one side and nobody knows that he's weeping. He wept right there in front of all of them, that people looking on like, whoa. Whatever you're going through, my friends, the Lord knows, and he empathizes with us. Sometimes he delays because he wants to build our faith. Especially when he comes through. But even before he comes through, can you imagine Abraham after he prayed for Abimelech and those and saw all that healing? That his faith was strengthened. But even more so, the next chapter there in Genesis says, that Sarah had her child, had her son. Even more so when the promise comes to pass, your faith is built. And so Abraham hadn't waited so long when the promise came to pass, he was at a different place of faith. That's why when the Lord came to him later on to sacrifice Isaac, he could go ahead and do it because he's like, oh, if God came through in so many different ways, then surely he's going to raise this kid from the grave. Surely he's going to raise him from the dead. So Abraham could move to a new level of faith because he had waited so long and he saw God finally come through. So sometimes God delays because he wants to build our faith when he comes through. Any one of us who have waited for certain things for a while and then God comes through, you're at a different place of faith. You know, many of you should know that my wife and I, when we got married, for the first few years we decided we didn't want to start a family. And then we decided we want to start a family after about 4 years. And my wife got pregnant, and the pregnancy ended in a miscarriage. And for 7 years, we tried all sort of stuff. And nothing worked. Nothing worked. We're there. We reached a place where it was like, I don't need another prophecy. I don't need anybody else to feel, you know, empathetic for me. We're just going to keep being faithful to the Lord. And then God, in his own timing, caused us to bear a child, coming after 11 years of marriage. And my wife got pregnant 2 weeks after we had moved to New Jersey for her to start to do residency in pediatrics. If she had gotten pregnant before, we would not have made that move. But it was part of God's timing. And I say that to say that's the next sub-point, that sometimes God delay because of his timing and his greater plans. We can only look back now in hindsight and understand, but when we were going through it, we had no clue. But we have to reach a place where we just trust God for his timing. And say, Lord, you know what's best. You can see all things. You understand what's going on. I don't. But Lord, I trust you. And so we are here in Missouri in part because of our children being born in New Jersey. It's part of God's plan that we couldn't have seen back then. And so we can look back now, we can say, thank you, Lord, for the delay. Because you did it at the right time and put us in the right place. Israel was in slavery and they were crying out. Things were rough even before Moses was born. And you know, when Moses was born, at the time they were trying to kill off all the boys. And Moses wasn't sent to deliver them until 80 years later. Things delayed. But the Lord said that basically he wanted to receive more glory. And he was going to work in a way in which it would become obvious that God was the one who did this. Part of his own timing, 430 years later, they would come out. That was a prophecy, a word spoken to Abraham from before. Had to be a certain timing before God would set them free. And that he had some greater plans. Israel was suffering during the first century and times before that when they were crying out. And the Bible says in Galatians 4, says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. The Messiah came at the right time to bring salvation. So God has a timing for things that you and I need to learn to relax and wait. When Jesus said to the disciples, this is for a greater glory, he understood. The Spirit of God spoke to him. He understood the timing. That's why he delayed. It's not that he was being callous. It's not that he didn't care. but he was waiting on the timing of the Father. And so God delays because he has some greater plans. God delays because when he comes through, it is going to be for a greater glory, greater exaltation of his name. That's what Jesus said to disciples, that this sickness is not unto death or will not end in death, but for the glory of God, the Son of Man might be glorified by it and in it and through it. If you had healing when you were sick, people are used to that. But now when he turns upon the scene, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. I mean, buried 4 days. Now the sister says, Lord, by this time he's stinking. The Jews believe that by the fourth day the body starts to decay. So this wasn't just somebody who, you know, they died half an hour ago and then they get raised and say, well, was he really dead? You know, people are, was he really dead? Well, this is as dead as you can find the dead. That even the sisters were like, well, it's too late. But this was for a greater glory. People would always remember this. This brought about a greater impact upon the lives of people. Let's read John 11 and verse 44. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary, she had an influence. Many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. They were like, this must be the Messiah. This is the man. Because never ever in the history of the world has this ever happened. John chapter 12 and verse 10 and 11. Well, verse 9 going on. John 12 verse 9. The large crowd of Jews then learned that he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. These Jews already knew about the miracles, but they had never seen anything like this. And because this miracle was so outstanding, they couldn't just rationalize it away. It says that many of these Jews put their faith in Christ. Friends, some of the delay that you and I are experiencing, when God comes through, God wants to use it to reach more people for his glory. He wants people to have faith in Christ. He wants you and I to testify concerning it. You don't believe me? John 12 and verse 17. So the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, they continued to testify about him. You see that? They not only believed in him, but they went around telling people, listen, this man was dead 4 days. He started to stink when they rolled away the stone. I was like, my goodness. And Jesus called him forth. You understand what I'm saying, friends? So when you and I have a delay and God comes through, it's not for us to just quietly say, well, thank you, Lord. No, God wants us to shout it from the rooftop. Yeah, we waited 11 years and God came through and gave us our children. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying, saints? Testify. Share about it.
Let the ungodly know that there still is a God who might delay, but when he comes through in a very powerful way. He comes through in a way in which becomes obvious it's a miracle that God has done this. Jesus had said to Martha and to Mary, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you believe, things will be different. And sometimes you and I, we get tired. We get tired of waiting, but I believe the Lord will say to you this morning, if you would continue to believe, things will be different. If you'll continue to put your trust in me, I will come through in my own way, in my own timing, but I will come through.
Wow. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. I think we'll have to finish this another time. Because there's so much good stuff in this story. We haven't started talking about the wrappings yet and the grave clothes yet. We're just talking about the fact that God delays many times. It's part of his pattern. Don't be surprised. Expect it at some point in time as you walk with him. There will be some delays in him answering your prayers. He delayed in answering the prayers of Cornelius for the right time so that Peter would be in the right place to come and share so that the gospel could spread. And when you look through scripture, you'll see time and time again that God delays for a greater purpose. And part of what he wants to do is to receive greater glory. So it becomes obvious he's the one who has done it. And for you and I to not be shy to declare about the goodness of Almighty God. Let us stand. Who knows? I know there are some people here that they will believe in God for different things and trust in God for different things, and it's God delayed. And for some of you, the delay is coming to an end in a short while. But for others of us, we have to continue to believe God, continue to hold on. But I want to say, when God comes through, to come back and testify, come back and share, come back and give glory to God, come back and cause the faith of others to be built. And in the meantime, while you're waiting, keep on ministering. Keep on declaring the goodness of God. Keep on praying for others and believe God to intervene in their circumstance. Be like Abraham, who prayed for people to be healed and they got healed while he still believed in God for his wife. Be like Joseph, who would still be able to hear God and interpret dreams while he still believed in God to fulfill his dream. We cannot be of such that say, Lord, I'm not going to do anything else for you until you come through. That's what the enemy would want you and I to do. But instead, we should have the mindset that says, even if he doesn't come through in my lifetime, I'm going to be faithful to him. And so this morning, as we're here in the presence of the Lord, if you had gotten tired of waiting or tired in waiting, if you had put down some things that God had said to you, put it on one side, and this morning the Lord is encouraging you, no, keep on believing, then I want to encourage you to come on up to this altar as a way of committing, recommitting yourself to the Lord this morning, saying, Lord, I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on trusting you. I'm going to keep on declaring your goodness until you come through with these promises. If that's you, I'm going to encourage you to come on up to this altar this morning as a way of saying to the Lord, Lord, I am being faithful to you.
Heart is open wide. Eyes are open wide. What are you saying? Where are you going? My heart. heart is open wide. My eyes are open wide. What are you saying? Where are you going, Lord? My heart is open wide. My eyes are open wide. Do whatever. And do whatever you want to do. And say whatever you want to say. And move however you want to move. And change whatever you want to change. Lord, do whatever. Do whatever you want to do. Say whatever you want to say. And move however you want to move. And change whatever you want to change. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open. I'm open. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open. I'm open. My heart is an open space for you. Have your way, I'm open. I'm open. My heart is an open space for you to come. Have your way, I'm open. I'm open. I'm open. I'm open, I'm open, Lord. Whatever you want to do, say what you want to say, Lord. Your servant is listening. Oh, do what you want to do. My heart is open wide, and my eyes are open wide. Oh.
I had a sister who is now in heaven. She was very passionate for the Lord, passionate to see her siblings come to Christ. And so she'd pray for them, she'd share with them. Last, a week ago, Saturday, my eldest surviving brother, he's old enough to be my father. In fact, he has a daughter who's older than I am. He's in his 80s. A week ago, Saturday, was his birthday. And he finally got water baptized. I've done video, sent me clips. He finally publicly got water baptized. My sister's prayers have been answered. And I give God thanks that I'm alive to hear it, to see it, and to rejoice in it. Friends, don't give up. Don't give up. God is still at work. We don't understand the reasoning behind the delay, but still remain faithful. Still continue to share about the goodness of God. Still continue to serve Him. Still continue to worship Him. Still continue to draw close to Him. You never know. You never know when God is going to come through. But when He does, testify. When He does, share of the goodness. Let all, the entire world know that He has come through. So Father God, I thank You this day that You are a faithful God. You're faithful to Your word. You're faithful to us. Lord, that even when we are faithless, Lord, You remain faithful because You cannot deny Yourself. Lord, even when we misunderstand what You have said, like Abraham did, and think You're talking about Ishmael, Lord, there's no misunderstanding with You, that Your promise is clear. Lord, we thank You for the many promises that You have spoken to Your people right here in this congregation, and Lord, those who are participating online, we thank You for those promises, the promises of healing, the promises of reconciliation, Lord, the promises of breakthrough in different areas of our lives. Lord, we thank You. The promises of our loved ones, the prodigals coming back to You with passion and zeal. Lord, we thank You for those promises. And Father God, I pray that You might strengthen everyone who came up this morning. And everyone, oh God, who is here or online, who is still believing You, oh God, for the fulfillment of Your word. Strengthen them, oh God. May we not become weary, oh Father, in well-doing. But Lord God, You say, in due time we'll reap if we faint not. Lord, we continue to believe You. We continue to press through. We continue to worship You. And we continue to magnify You. Lord, we let the enemy know that he's not going to have the final say. But You will have the final say. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we declare, oh God, our loved ones are coming back to You this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, that no gate of hell will be able to hold them for too long. But they shall return with everlasting joy upon their heads. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now we thank You, O God, for reconciliation, Lord. We thank You, O God, for softening hearts, O God, of people, O Father God, who have become hardened. We thank You for softening hearts. We thank You, O God, for turning things around. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we see what You did between Jacob and Esau, where You changed hearts and caused them to welcome one another. And so, Father God, we thank You that You are into that type of business. So we thank You, O God, for bringing healing in relationships. Lord, we thank You that Your delay doesn't mean You don't love us and You don't care. But Lord, it's actually the opposite, that You come alongside us in the middle of the delay to comfort us, to give us grace, to cause us to continue to keep on pressing in. Lord, You did say that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Spirit of God, for that type of strengthening. We thank You for that type of refilling, Almighty God. And Lord, this morning we give You all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.